This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Algae blooms in lakes and ponds across northern New England are becoming more and more common. These can kill fish and cause terrible odors. Now there is an app to track them. Bloomwatch allows users to easily report when they know of a pond that has suddenly blossomed with microscopic bacteria. Granite Geek David Brooks has been writing about this app for his column this week in the Concord Monitor, and he joins me now to talk about it. Welcome, David.
Glad to be here.
So tell us about this app. What kind of information does it collect?
Well, it's pretty much your kind of a standard information collecting app that is actually becoming not quite routine, but not quite so unusual as it used to be. So you can basically you can take a picture and a description and upload a geographic link to it and send it to a database, which in this case is it's been set up by the Environmental Protection Agency, the federal agency. The state DES environmental folks are also part of it, as are some other folks. Mm-hmm. So it's you go down to the beach and, oh my gosh, look at the lake today, yuck. So you take a picture of it, put a little note saying, "This I didn't notice this until this morning. I think it's an algae bloom," and it gets geotagged and uploaded.
Users shouldn't expect scientists from the EPA or elsewhere to just come rushing into this
pond. They will parachute from above the moment you hit the send button. No, of course not. unfortunately, this is information gathering. This is a classic citizen science project in the sense of giving a tool to, you know, laymen like you and me out there who can use this tool to gather information that then will be, you know, made use of by researchers trying to figure out, you know, what to do about it, whether it's getting worse, what are the circumstances and under which it's getting worse. Is it always happening in these lakes that, you know, have this particular kind of runoff or that kind of temperature? And is it, you know, growing in this geographic area and not that great geographic area? So it's very much information providing.
There are a lot of apps like this, you know, citizen science apps that collect data from users. One thing that makes this different is that there's an enhanced version that comes with a sort of kit, like a toolkit that you can use to get advanced information.
That is one of the things that is particularly interesting about this. There's a CyanoScope and then CyanoMonitoring. And each one of those requires buying some equipment. So CyanoScope comes, oddly enough, with a microscope and some equipment for gathering a sample of it. So you go down, you say, yuck, there's this stuff, you take a picture of it, and then if you've already signed up and you've gotten online training for the CyanoScope and you've bought the equipment, which is a few $100, then you could take a sample of it, you can look at it under the microscope, take a picture, and so then the scientists can not only know there's something disgusting happening here, but here's the exact species, because there's a good dozen different species of the bacteria that that cause the algae blooms in New Hampshire, and that is more of the information that they need. And then you can go up to CyanoMonitoring, which is even more expensive equipment. So CyanoScope is probably a few $100, you'll be bought by like your lake association. And then several people with the lake association are trained in how to use it, and they can use it. And CyanoMonitoring is perhaps even another step up. So it might be, you know, bought by a city or even a government agency.
What do scientists hope to do with this information?
If they can correlate it and say, you know, a lake that has this kind of circumstances, it's on this type of geology, and in this kind of weather has this kind of an algae problem with this particular species, that's related to this kind of a runoff. And so they'll know, so for example, to tackle development around this lake as compared to leaking septic systems perhaps or something like that. So right now it's hard to tackle a problem that can have many different sources. When you can't tackle all of them, they're too expensive. So the more information you have about what specifically is happening, the better you have a chance to do something to it.
The environmental scientist in Massachusetts you quoted, Hillary Snook, said in your article that people with skin in the game are going to be the ones most likely to participate in this citizen science endeavor. But I think some would argue that, you know, aside from people who live near a body of water that could be susceptible to the cyanobacteria, we all have, to some extent, some skin in the game when it comes to the health of our lakes and ponds.
No, you bet. Of course we do. I mean, that's part of why you live in New Hampshire, right? Because it's a pretty place to be, and you know that even if you almost never do it, you could possibly go out and, you know, go paddling in a lake tomorrow if you wanted to. And yet if they're all disgusting and foul, you won't want to. So we all do have skin in the game. I think he was referring specifically to everybody would like to have this problem, but we all have a lot of problems we want to solve. And so the people that are most likely to take the time to, you know, download the app, to use it, to get the training, are those that are most directly affected. And that is And that's a good way to approach a lot of citizen science, is the people who are most directly affected are the ones that are most likely to take action.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who is so geeky he can't find a smartphone with enough memory to store all his favorite citizen science apps at graniteGeek.org.